And here we are in at this place, Joseph, his father, the people with dad are here. All the brothers are there. All the families are there. They're in Goshen now. And he's so glad to see his son, Jacob, holding Joseph. Just they're weeping over one another, loving on each other. And we move on then in history as it comes to pass in chapter 48. And it says that it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, your father is sick, sick unto death is really the place that he's come to. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, your son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed. Just that place where he's rising up to meet his son. And that's just an amazing thing to me, that the account would be that he was rising up to meet his son. It tells us this in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9. He said, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. In this we wish even your perfection. We're so thankful that God can be our strength, even when we're in that place where we're hurting, we're down, and we don't feel like we can even get up. That the Lord will be our strength and he'll help us in that. And I know a lot of us are in those places. I'm sure Michael and Sensi are in that place. Char in that place. Just, I can't believe all these things are happening to me. And yet we see Jacob on his deathbed, but hearing his son is coming, and just to rise up to meet him. The strength that he didn't have, the Lord gave him just so he could minister to his son one more time. And we're going to see some great chapters coming of just prophecy, prophetic things that are going to go on as he raises up Jacob, no longer being called Jacob, but Israel. And remember the difference in there. Jacob, that dirty, sneaky thief, but Israel, the one who's governed by God, can raise up and meet with his son, meet with his people, and minister to them. So one tells Jacob, and he says, your son's coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and he blessed me. As he rehearses to Joseph the account of what happened with him, and remember, this is from chapters 28, verses 13 to 17, and also when he came back again, chapter 35, verses 10 to 12, that the Lord meets him in those places and speaks to his heart and talks with him about the things that he has for him, about what he wants him to do, where he wants him to be, and he shows him and directs him. And he rehearses this to Joseph, God Almighty. Can you imagine the meeting that was there? God Almighty met with me. And you and I, if you're born again, have met with the living God. God Almighty has come down to meet with you and to bring you home, to give you direction to come home. So grateful and thankful for that. As we sit in days that are just so unstable, in a world that's unstable, things are just happening all over the place. And I'm just so thankful that God is in the midst, just still meeting with us and still wanting to show us his glory, still wanting to show us his might, his power. And he wants to do it not only collectively, but individually. You have those things that are distracting you right now in your life. And God wants to meet with you to show you he's greater than those distractions, that he can keep you and strengthen you. When you feel like you can't even get up one more time, he'll get you up. Hold on to him. Hold on to his promises. Know that they're true and real, and that he wants to be your strength even when you're weak. He's at that place at Bethel. He says, God appeared unto me, and he blessed me. Not only did he appear unto me, but then he blessed me. And you know what? If God has met with you and you're born again, he's blessed you. Notice it's past tense. He's already done it. He's already blessed you. You just need to receive it. You just need to hold on to it as true. That is some fairy tale that might happen to me. Isn't it sad as you talk with people and they say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. You can know you're going to heaven. It isn't a hope so. We get to. Not because of us, but because of him. It's not based on our faithfulness. It's based on the one who is faithful. And there's only one that's faithful, and it's Jesus. On the horse that he rides back, faithful and true. Ah, and he's coming. And he's going to come and get us. Oh, and we're going to be with him for eternity. No more cars breaking down. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more MRIs. No more diseases. It's all going to be clean and pure and right. And you get to experience it. Not because of your name, not because of who you are, but because of our faithful God who is able to do it all. God Almighty met with me and he blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. And hasn't he said that to you and I? I'm going to meet with you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bring fruit to your life. And I'm going to multiply you, and I'm going to make of you a multitude of people, and I'm going to give you this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. It's their land. It's nobody else's land. It's their land. It's still their land. God has never rescinded that. God has never taken that promise away. It's still their land. Oh. Don't let the newspapers, don't let the news sources tell you anything different. It's theirs. They may think somebody else owns it, but guess what? They're wrong. And they can be sincere about it. They're still wrong. God is always right. We're always wrong. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As he rehearses this, look at what he's doing already. Because remember, Manasseh was born first. Ephraim was born second. Who does he put first in this sentence? Ephraim. Because Ephraim was going to be greater than Manasseh. He's already started the process. Jacob, Israel, rehearsing this to Joseph. And he's already starting to minister to Joseph. You're going to complain about this. You're going to look at it as being wrong. But this is the way God has it. This is not the way I have it. Your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came to thee in Egypt, they're mine. I've adopted them. And you and I are adopted sons and daughters of God. We're adopted into the family, and there are no grandchildren. They're just sons and daughters. Oh, and thank you, Lord, that he's called us his own. You have a new last name. You're going to have a new first name. You're going to have a new character, a new nature. You're going to be perfect. And our wives are going to be so happy. We're going to be perfect. And our wives go, how long, Lord? How long? One day. It's coming. We're going to be perfect. Thank you, Lord. We're adopted into the family. We're his. They're mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. As his blood-bought sons were his, so are Ephraim and Manasseh. And we're going to see that in certain places throughout Scripture, we see them taking the places that the names of the patriarchs, as the land is doled out and all of these things come to pass, we're going to see their two names in there, absorbed into the tribes of Israel. And he says, and thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. As he rehearses the history of what's gone on, and we get to see this history, and we get to know this history. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons. Look at the title here. Again, it's not Jacob, it's Israel. He beholds them with God's eyes, and he looks at them and says, whose are these? It isn't that he didn't know. He just wanted Joseph to know who they were. Joseph, these are your sons, but look at what's going to happen. And he's going to prophesy in this chapter. As God ministers to him, he's going to minister to his son Joseph. And isn't that the way it's supposed to be? We come to God, we become his, we get adopted into the family, and we just rehearse God's word to those that have come to us. Who are they? This is who they are, but this is who they're going to be. And this is what's going to happen to them. And you and I come in that place, and who are we? We're now blood-bought children of God. And now who are we going to be? We're going to be fruitful to our God. Not fruitful to the things of the world. We'll be a blessing to the world, but we're going to be fruitful to our God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, it tells us in Colossians. Not to the things of the world, to the ways of the world, or for yourself. They're for God. And so we trust him for that, and we look to him for that. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said to his father, These are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. Joseph knows where they've come from. He knows who they are. Notice their sons. They're not whatevers. They're sons. He knows the difference. We've got a world in which nobody knows what they are. Even people that are trained don't know who they are. God knows who they are. So maddening, isn't it? And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Bring them to me, and I'll bless them. Bring them to me. And isn't that what we do with our kids, with our relatives, with our co-workers, with our neighbors? Who do we bring them to? We bring them before God as we intercede. We bring them to him and present them to him. God, these are your children that you died for. Please show me how to minister to them. Show me how to encourage them. Show me how to train them. Show me how to talk with them so that they might become your children, so that they can know the blessing that you give is from you and you alone. Pray for them. Intercede for them. God hasn't given up on us. We shouldn't give up on them. It tells us in Scripture that Jesus daily intercedes for you and I. How much more then should we be interceding for those around us? Bring your kids, no matter how rotten they are. Bring them. Bring your spouses, no matter how rotten they are. Bring them to Jesus. Lord, I can't change them. You change them. Present them to God. Intercede for them, and he'll change your heart towards them. And the blessing will be there. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Look at the love he has for them, just as Jesus loves you and I. He doesn't want to beat you for being a sinner. He doesn't want to whip you because you were bad. He wants to love you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to kiss you. Oh. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see your face. And lo, God has showed me also your seed. Amazing. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says this, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him that can do exceeding abundant. We can't do it. He can. I never thought I'd see your face again. It was 17 years before I saw your face, Joseph. I thought you were dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins, and we're never going to come out of it. But God is able to do it, and he did it exceeding abundantly. I was a black sheep of the family because I made myself a black sheep of the family. I loved what I was doing. But boy, when I got saved, it just changed everything. And it does for all of us, doesn't it? And my parents, who I put through torture, who I put through all kinds of stuff. I can't even and don't want to remember all the things that I did to them. But they got to come to the church when I got ordained as a pastor and see it. I got to go and be with my mom after my dad passed. Once a week, we used to get together and talk, pray, and we had communion together. I can't imagine what it did to her heart. This dirty, rotten kid that I just wanted to beat, that I just wanted to... And now we're taking communion together. What God can do We couldn't, but he can. And as you look around the things that we can't do, God can. It may take 17 years. It may take 40 years. God is going to be able to do it. How long are you willing to wait and to keep interceding? Are you willing to keep going? Do you have no strength to keep going? You're so weighed down with what's happened to them and the conditions that they're in. Do you just want to give up and stop praying for them? God says don't. Keep praying. As long as they have life, God can still do it. We know God is able. It's still going to be their choice, but keep praying. You know what it does as the Lord keeps them in the condition that they're in? You know what it does for you? It keeps you praying. That's a treat. That's a blessing because we get to go before the God who can change people. Lord, thank you that there's still a mess because I get to come before you and ask you to change them. And how long did somebody pray for you before you got saved? Oh, can you imagine the tears that they shed over you because of your condition, because of your anger, because of your frustrations, because of that ugly way that you were walking in the world? How many tears were shed over you by them? Oh, thank you, Lord, that people prayed for you. And thank you, Jesus, that you prayed for us. Oh, I didn't think I was ever going to see your face, but God has showed me also your seed. I got a double blessing out of this. I got to see you, and I get to see my grandkids. Oh, such an amazing thing. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, not in the sense that we think because they might be older than we think. They certainly weren't little tykes, maybe older, but the picture is that he brought them out just to show Joseph his children. And he bowed himself with his face to the earth in humility. Here's a man who's over all of the land of Egypt, just about. There's only one man above him, and yet in humility he shows his father reverence. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand. Because remember, the place of blessing, the place of honor was the right hand. So he's putting the younger one. And notice again that they mention Ephraim first and then Manasseh. It's that way throughout most of Scripture. I think there's only one place, maybe two, in Scripture where Manasseh comes first. Because Ephraim was going to be the one who was blessed more. And we'll see why in a second here. Joseph took them both, Ephraim, to Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand. Remember, they're facing each other, so he's just bringing them forth, and he brought them near to them. And so what does he do? And notice in verse 14 it says, Israel, not Jacob. Israel stretched forth his right hand, laid it on Ephraim. So he's crossing his arms. You bring him this way, but I've got a different plan. And he's governed by God. His name means governed by God. As he's governed by God, God is leading him to put his hand in a different way than what Joseph wanted. The custom was the older son would get the double blessing, the double inheritance. He would have all the rights. He would become the priest of the family. All those things would come to the older one. And Israel is crossing his arms, and he's messing everything up. Isn't it amazing that God's ways are different than our ways? Just because it's a custom, don't make it a law. If God wants to change it, are you willing to let God change it? Oh, Israel stretched out his hand. The order of nature is not the order of grace here. Hang on to him. He stretched out his right hand, laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And remember their names. Ephraim, well, let's do Manasseh first. Manasseh means cause to forget. That's what his name means. As he was born, remember, Joseph said, he's causing me to forget my bondage. He's causing me to forget what my family did to me. He's causing me to forget all these things. But Ephraim's name means double fruitfulness. He's going to get double the blessing. He's going to be the one who's going to be more fruitful than his brother. Not because of their ways, but because of God's ways. And he blessed Joseph. and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So the blessing that he's received from his fathers, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, now coming unto them, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. The blessing that has come to his forefathers, now he gives to them. As he realizes he's passing on, he gives them the blessing that they have. And for you and I, the blessing that we have because of who God is in our lives, may it pass and may it bring double fruit to those that are around us and under us and in our families. Lord, let that blessing pass. Let the blessing go. And let people of the earth know that there is a God who loves them. And let them be blessed in him. Oh, everything that we do, every part of life was given to God and for God, and they acknowledged it. Isn't it too bad that we've forgotten that? Lord, let everything that we say, everything that we do, every part of our lives be a blessing to those that are around us. And it's amazing, too, as we look at this back in Genesis 17, verse 1, it says this, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Just as he appeared to Jacob, he appears to Abram, and he says this, walk before me. Isn't that the same thing he just said here? As Abram and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all the way along unto this day, help me to walk. We have an active verb that's going on here that's for the same for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as it is for you and I. We need to walk with our God. Not because we have to, but we get to. You know, if your favorite football player came in here right now, wouldn't you want to walk with him? And you'd be strutting along. Yeah, this is my bud. Yeah, I know him. Wouldn't you want to walk with God? It's interesting. When our friends were here from Tennessee, the son came on the Tuesday of the calling hours and the funeral the next day, and he pulled out this and pulled up for me this interview that was from one of the C's, ABC or NBC, one of those C's, and he played it, and it was 3 weeks ago before the playoffs started, right? And the person was announcing who was going to be the entertainers for the halftime, which I don't care about. It's time for a commercial break. It's time to go get something to eat. But it's interesting is they were announcing who was going to be the entertainers for the halftime show. They said the Super Bowl that's coming. This is 3 weeks ago between the Ravens and the 49ers. 3 weeks ago before the playoffs started. They're already announcing who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Be interesting to see. Are things planned? Conspiracies are all over. Isn't it great? This is wonderful. It has nothing to do with where we are, but it was interesting. So he blesses Joseph, and he says, they did walk. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Help me to walk with you today, Lord. I don't know how to walk. Show me how to walk. I don't know the path. Show me the path. I will be your guide even unto death, the Psalms tell us. That must mean he knows how to teach us how to walk and the path that we're going to take. He knows where we're going. Lord, but help me to walk with you because you're my strength. You're my power. I'm going to walk through hard things. Yes. Lord, will you be with me? Yes. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll be with you. Oh, the promise is there. Lord, this life is hard. Remember, Jacob said just the chapter before, few and evil have been my days. And we can almost say the same thing, can't we? The days are going by so quick, and some of those days have been so hard. Some of those days have been so awful. Some of our own making, some just because of the condition of the world and the things that happen and sin that brings death. And we just, Lord, they're hard. But one day, we're going to enter into eternity, which is not 70 years. long beyond that. And they're going to be glorious with him and because of him. These days may be few and evil, but don't give up on who he is. Stand strong in these days. And it's interesting, too, as you look at these two verses, verses 15 and 16, they're talking about God there. They're talking about God which fed me or shepherded me, which is the first mention of that in Scripture. And then the angel, speaking of Jesus, the first mention of that, the angel, capital A, Jesus, which redeemed me from all evil, the first mention of a kinsman redeemer. And here he is. He says, he redeemed me. My kinsman redeemer redeemed me, the one who paid the price for me. He redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let the angel which redeemed me redeem your kids. Oh, Lord, you're the only one that can redeem us. You're the only one that could pay the price for all of us. Lord, do it for them and let them know it, Lord. Let my name, let my character, and what's his character now? Governed by God. No longer a dirty, sneaky thief. You don't want your kids to know you're a dirty, sneaky thief. You don't want your kids to know how awful you really are. You want them to know that you're governed by God. Lord, let them know that I'm governed by God. And he can do it. We can't force it. We can't show them how holy we are. You know, you can get those Halloween costumes and put a halo around your head and put wings on your back and walk around as an angel. People know who you are. You're no angel. Oh, but God knows who you are because he died for you and paid the price. So sweet. Verse 17 then, it says, and when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. He had an issue with it. Isn't it amazing? Not one bad thing is mentioned about Joseph in Scripture of what he said, what he did, but he was displeased with what his father did. No matter how good we are, no matter how little is mentioned of sin in our lives, we still have issues of heart, don't we? We all need a Savior. We all need to be redeemed. None of us are perfect. And here's Joseph. It displeased him, and he held up his father's hand. He didn't realize he was being led by God, and he was more led by culture and in things that were so common to the culture of the day than he was being led by the Spirit. He was displeased, and he held up his father's hand. Oh, baby. Slap that hand. But he doesn't do that, does he? He tried to stop his father's hand. Can you imagine what would have happened if Ephraim didn't get that blessing and Manasseh did? Ooh, things out of order, out of God's order. He held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to put it on Manasseh's head. He thought he was confused. You're old. You don't know what you're doing. He goes, I'm governed by God. Don't call me old. I know what I'm doing. I'm being led by God. Ugh. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. I know what's going on. I know what you want to do. I know where your heart is. But I know also what God wants to do. And I can't do what you want to do. I need to do what God says to do. Folks, we got to do that. No matter what our kids are saying, no matter what our family is saying, we've got to do what God says. Oh, isn't it sad that as you read in Revelation and other places, what our kids are going to do, what other kids are going to do to their parents? In Revelation, they're going to turn their parents in because they're not following the Antichrist. It's going to be daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, kids against their parents. We have to do what God tells us to do. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit and to have the Spirit of God govern you, govern your life, govern your actions, govern your speech, and let him lead you into the days that you're in. And it's more important than ever that the world see that now. Lord, please lead us and guide us in that way. Don't let your kids intervene and interfere with what God is telling you to do. I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a great people. Or shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude with nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God shall make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh, the double portion given to the one who was the younger, but because it was God's ways. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. One of my daughters has told me that I can't die before she does, so I have to live till I'm 108. Said, that ain't going to happen. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be 108. You know, it's time when your kids are changing your diapers. It's time to go home. And it's just like, nah, this isn't right. Nah, things are going to change. Can't do that. I need to have it in a way. You need to trust God. As Jacob ministers to Joseph, I'm going to die, but God is still going to be with you. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. I know we haven't been together a lot because of circumstances and events, but don't let it hamper your walk with the Lord. God is going to be with you. Let him lead you. No matter how hard it seems for you right now, let God lead you, because he still has a good work. He's walking with you through this. He's going to minister to you in the midst of your hard times. And we don't want anything hard to happen to our kids, do we? Or our grandkids, especially our grandkids. Sometimes our kids can get us to a place where maybe God won't get you, but I'm going to. But our grandkids, don't even think of saying a bad thing to my grandkids. But you know what? We've got to tell them, even if we go, and we won't be there to protect you, God is going to go with you. Minister to your kids. Minister to your grandkids. Let them know God is going to be with you, and he's going to bring you again into the land of your fathers. As he tells them that, where are they? They're in Egypt. And Joseph's the second in command. What do you mean we're leaving here? I can't leave. I got responsibilities. I got stuff happening. He's prophesying, this is what's going to go on later on. You're going home. Oh, maybe not the way that you thought, but you're going home, because Joseph is going to die before he's taken back. God never said you're going to live and see it. He just said you're going home. Oh. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above your brethren, one portion above because of the two sons being blessed, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow, this double portion that he's given. But listen again, we went there last week, but certainly I want to go there again. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 21, it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, which we saw today, and he worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And what are you leaning on today to keep you in the days that you're in? Are you leaning on your kids' goodness? Are you leaning on the doctor's diagnoses? Are you leaning on your 401ks? Are you leaning on our country being great again? What are you leaning on? Are you leaning on Jesus? Are you leaning on those everlasting arms? Oh, Lord, may we fall into your arms and just trust you today, not only with our own lives, but with our kids, with the circumstances that are around us. We have it made pretty much in America. Can you imagine being an Arab Christian in Gaza? You have no home. You have no job. You have no stability. The Arabs hate you. The Jews hate you. What do you have? You have a God who loves you. And God may do that with you and I, as he brings us to a place where we're separated from everything and the only thing that we have is Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. You don't need anything more. And he may be stripping away from you and I right now some of these things, some of your family members, some of the conditions around you, your Social Security going, your house falling apart, your car falling apart, with you having no way of ever buying another car. Who's still going to be there with you? Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus? Yeah, just Jesus. If that's the only thing that you have, you're the richest person in the world. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you are everything that we need. You're our strength. You're our hope. You're our guide. You're our redeemer. You're our salvation. You're our buckler. You're our shield. We go through all those things, Lord, and we read them to others. But when it comes to us, Lord, sometimes we falter because we just don't understand and realize how much you want to be to us. And sometimes it takes a stripping away of everything to show us how much we do have. We have everything that we need in you, Lord. So help us to know it. Help us to use those other things that we have, those blessings that you give, just to be a blessing for others, just to use them for your glory. And so, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion and to realize again, once again, what you've done, may we not grow tired of it, but may we realize more and more the depths of it, the conditions of things that have happened, so that we could see you better. And Lord, if we are holding anything against you in place of you, may it be stripped away, Lord. We say it with trepidation because we don't want anything stripped away from us, but Lord, if it's necessary for us to see you better and to hold on to you more, let it be, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we ask, Father, all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, that wonderful cross that we look at, that we realize such a huge, a huge price was paid for us that we couldn't pay because of our condition. You paid, Lord, because of your love. And we're just so thankful, Father, as we come to you and just give all to you, Lord, please help our hearts to be in that place where we'd realize the awfulness of our condition and the beautifulness of your love. We're just so thankful, Lord. Those two don't go together, but you used it to show your glory, to show your power, to show your might to a fallen world that had none of those things. We're thankful, Lord. Take us deeper, bring us closer, where we'd know your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, and walk in that truth, Lord. We love you and we thank you, and we take these now in your blessed name, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's partake.